Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is Wednesday, April 8th.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
It's my Friday, so I don't even care. I'm off the next 2 days. Yeah, don't call me at work the next 2 days. I will not answer.
Wait, how come you haven't told me about this before?
I don't know.
You have to clear all vacation through me, remember?
Is that a thing? Yeah, that's a thing. You are a supervisor. But not over me. That's right.
Oh, right. Never mind.
Hey, Wade's here too, by the way.
Yeah, hi.
Just kind of.
Hi, Wade.
I got steamrolled over him.
The day after tomorrow, I've got 2 days off, so I have to clear that with you too.
Yes, you do.
That's your normal weekend. I have a 4 day weekend, sucker.
The day after tomorrow. That was a cold movie.
It was an interesting concept.
Cool or cold?
Cold.
Okay. Do you want to elaborate on that in any way?
I think I know what you mean, but...
Felt it was a little lackluster, a little dry?
No. I thought it was pretty decent. It was an interesting movie. I'm digressing here, but... No, it was cold. There was a lot of freezing in it.
Ah.
That's what I was, getting at.
Got it.
Yeah. Wade got it.
I enjoyed that movie, actually. What's the chick?
Yeah, so did I.
Emma Rossum, I think. She was in Phantom of the Opera. She played Christine Daae. Anyway.
And here's a show that we are cultured.
That's right. Here's a show we're more than the chauvinistic views of last week. We like to see Phantom of the Opera.
Woohoo!
And what did we see when we were in New York? Was it Wicked?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
I saw both of those on Broadway, actually. Go me.
Well, extremely cultured.
Yeah, that's all that I've seen on Broadway. And I'm slightly snobby now. I don't know if I want to go see plays anywhere else because I've been to Broadway. I mean, I don't want to ruin my 2-0 record so far, you know.
My weekend was quiet. Thank you for asking.
I was leading into it, actually. Just quiet, though, huh? No.
Yeah.
I mean, you flew in and arrived, what, Friday, 10 a.m.?
Yeah. I had a little bit of a long weekend, but we had soccer over the weekend.
How did that go?
A movie. Not a movie in theaters, a movie on DVD, Predestination.
I don't think I've ever seen that. Who's in that?
That's a good question. Nobody I recognized.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, but it was a good movie.
What's her face?
That one chick. Sorry, that one lady. Let's be politically correct here, since it's been pointed out to us that last week was maybe the views that were intended to be conveyed weren't the ones that were actually conveyed. It happens.
Oh, Ethan Hawke and Sarah Snook.
Okay. Wow.
Sarah Snook. I don't know her.
But,
thank God there's not an I at the end of that.
Ethan Snooky. run and hide. Ethan Hawke always pops up in kind of some of the lower budget or less mainstream movies. I mean, he did the first Anarchy. What was it? They just did a sequel to it where every year there's one day, 12 hours that laws don't apply.
Purge.
He was in the first one. I don't think he was in the second one, though.
Okay.
Anyway, he's popped up in a lot of stuff. He was in Lord of War with Nicolas Cage. He played the customs agent.
Yeah. The Purge, by the way.
The Purge. I wanted to see it. I never did, actually. It was kind of bummed.
The second one.
Anyway, that's a lot of jabbering for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah. So I would recommend it. Really interesting twist that is hard to see coming. We didn't see it coming. I would say it has one replay of possibility.
Okay.
Just the nature of the twist requires ignorance, essentially.
Requires ignorance. Oh.
Ignorance in
the
film.
Once you know the twist is coming, you kind of, on the reread, you can pick up on it.
Yeah, so we haven't rewatched it yet. The first watch through again was spectacular. My guess is that it will bear one replay now that we know what the twist is to go back and pick out all the details we missed the first time through. But after that, you kind of know it.
Fight Club is a lot like that.
It was the butler in the dining room with the baguette.
I don't, you never saw Fight Club, did you?
I did not.
Yeah, Fight Club is the same way. Once you get to the end, you're like, what? And you almost want to replay it right then and there. You're like, okay, let's figure this out.
And what was that movie again? Just for reference.
Predestination?
Predestination.
Okay.
Fantastic.
I've always had that trouble. It's like, okay, well, this is really good. And like, go back and try to find what there was. What was it?
So, and now we move on. Why? And what was that movie?
No, come back.
Predestination.
Predestination.
I'm sure you could find it on Amazon. Feel free to shop there.
We got it through. Yeah, definitely. I won't mention where we got it because they're not a sponsor, Red Box.
There we go. Our weekend, well, mine, I could say it started early last week, too. I went and saw Fast Furious 7 Thursday night, opening night, so we'll get into that shortly. On the weekend, though, what did we do? It was Easter. Happy belated Easter, or Ishtar for the pagans out there, of which I would relate more to. Haha. But yeah, kind of a mellow weekend. Did the deal with the kid on Easter morning and did just some stuff around the house the rest of the day. So nothing too glamorous there. This weekend, though, since I have a 4-day, it's spring break for the kid. So I've got her the next 4 days and we'll see what she comes up with and what she wants to do. So
nice.
That's the nature of that beast. She said she didn't want to be stuck at home working on stuff because we've been doing a lot
putting
of housework.
Her to work.
Well, it's a slave labor. That's why you have kids. What are you talking about? We do a lot of housework and she likes to help out, but it's not necessarily fun for her, but she likes to be included. But
sure,
she does not want to do that for her spring break. I said, fine, you come up with things that sound fun and we'll do that. So it's up to her.
Balls in her court.
That's right. Wade.
You just wait until it costs $300.
Yeah. We're not doing that.
A person.
4-day pass to Disneyland.
Yeah. Shirley has a pass at Disneyland.
Oh, ridiculous. Nice.
I don't. She does. I don't care. It's like $300 and you might go a couple times a year to make it worthwhile. What do you do?
My weekend was out.
He was trying.
I was just like,
sorry.
No. Yep. As previously stated, I went up to the Anaheim Convention Center to partake in WonderCon, which is a smaller offshoot of Comic-Con that happens in San Diego in a yearly basis.
Did you see the animatronic Wally and Eve? Were there?
I did not.
I've seen a few videos of people that were at WonderCon and it was pretty cool. They were big. They're supposedly life size and with some mild animatronics.
I may have probably just blurred into everything.
Okay.
That sounds awesome. I like Wally.
Well, there was more than just Wally there. I mean, it's
crickets.
Yeah.
Seriously. Well, get back into it, Wade. Come on. Get the energy. Let's go.
Anything basically nerd culture you can think of was there. I mean, there was a lot of steampunk. There was, of course, a lot of people cosplaying.
Now you just labeled anyone into steampunk as being nerds. Way to go. Now you have to issue an apology.
Steampunkers. They were in the WonderCon thing. So if they are not called nerds or in some form or fashion, what are they doing there?
Valid point.
Covering it from journalistic interest.
Ah, I see what you did there.
So, yeah, it was fun. I wish I had more people to go with. I think I kind of went on the wrong day. I went on Friday, which is one of my days off, and I should have gone Saturday or Sunday, where most of the panels were going on. I mean, there was a panel for Flash, which would have been fun because we watched that, and iZombie. I like watching that. That would have been fun to go. But, hey, it's my first con that I've gone to in a while. You live and you learn.
That's fair to say.
And I do have some shots. I have to get them up on the computer and edit them all together.
Woohoo!
Yep, so look forward to that.
Sounds like fun.
It does. My daughter actually went to that on Friday and Friday? Saturday. She went there Saturday with her mom. And she had a blast. And there's a new show coming out called The Messengers, I think, where they actually showed the full pilot episode. And some of the cast was there to have a panel. But so she really dug that. And she's really interested in watching that show now. So
they were also really pushing a show called The Odyssey. No, American Odyssey. Quite a bit there.
They've been showing that on TV trailers, too. It's about a... what I gather from the trailer, so let's just preempt that right now. That
may or may not be reflective of what's actually released.
That's correct. My understanding, it's about an American soldier who's a mother who is reported kidnapped and killed in action.
KIA.
And then she somehow escapes and disguises herself as a local in order to try to get home. And so it's about the family coming to terms with her death being broadcast through the media. And then I guess there's an email or some sort of correspondence that happens that...
I'm still alive.
Kind of. Yeah. And the daughter having a lot of hope and whatnot. And the dad maybe trying to keep her with realistic expectations. Something along those lines. But yeah, that's an American Odyssey, I believe it's called.
Yeah, they had like a, I would say it was a semi-trailer. It could have been, but it seemed a bit smaller, where you could actually go in. I didn't, because I personally didn't really care about the show. So
you don't care about women troops killed in action? Ugh, you're so insensitive.
I care more about real women troops when in action and not depicted of a show.
It might be based on a true story, actually.
Well,
I might have made that up.
Interns ho!
Wow.
I feel like I can't say anything now without like saying the opposite just to cover my rear end.
Welcome to how this system works.
Are we supposed to be politically correct now? Because I feel like we're turning into that.
Martin Luther King was not politically correct. I don't care.
I'm sad. Anyway... I guess that leads us right into the movies.
Movies!
So we have three releases this week. Three mainstreams, anyway. First one being The Longest Ride. You may have seen trailers for this. This is based on a best-selling novel by Nicholas Sparks. The Longest Ride centers around a star-crossed love affair between Luke, a former champion bull rider, looking to make a comeback, and Sophia, a college student who is about to embark upon her dream job in New York City. Based on what I've seen in the trailers, he gets hurt. She tries to change him away from riding, you know, rodeo riding, and some of the drama of the relationship ensues. Movie is rated PG-13 with a critic rating of 40%. It might be worth noting there was no critic rating on Monday. So I'm not sure what that means. They didn't have enough reviews yet on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hadn't seen it yet.
They hadn't watched it yet. Names in this, nothing really big as far as actor-wise. But I did look at our local theaters, and it is being shown at pretty much all of them. So there's that. Number two this week is Danny Collins. This is 73% critic rating and rated R, starring Al Pacino as an aging 1970s rocker, Danny Collins, who can't give up his hard-living ways. But when his manager uncovers a 40-year-old undelivered letter written to him by John Lennon, he decides to change course and embark on a heartfelt journey to rediscover his family, find true love, and begin a second act. Also in this is Jennifer Garner and Michael Caine, to name a few. So if you're into the Beatles type music and era, this will be right down your alley. This has got a limited release. Only a few of the primary theaters near us are showing it, so it's worth saying. Lastly is, or in the top three here, is Ex Machina, or Machina, depending on how you want to say it. It's critic rating 89% and rated R. You may have seen the trailers. I think you and I have seen the trailers for this and other movies too. Alex Garland, who wrote the 28 Days, or 28 Days Later, and Sunshine. This is his directorial debut. Ex Machina, let's see here. Yeah. Caleb Smith, a programmer and an internet search giant, wins a competition to spend a week at a private mountain estate of a company's brilliant and reclusive CEO, Nathan Bateman. Upon his arrival, Caleb learns that Nathan has chosen him to be a human component in a turning test charging him with evaluating the capabilities and ultimately the consciousness of Nathan's latest experiment in artificial intelligence. I've seen the trailers for this. It's pretty interesting because from what we've seen, the AI starts either informing Caleb, our main character, of what's really going on, or manipulating him, one of the two. And so he's kind of getting it from both sides. He's getting it from the AI robot and Nathan Bateman, the CEO of this company, and trying to decipher which one is true and legitimate.
I was wondering what to do this weekend. I have a free movie ticket, and I was actually interested in this.
There you go. It's limited release. It's not at some of the big ones around us, but I think a few of the theaters are showing it. So be mindful of that. If something you're itching to see, check your local listings first.
Don't just go to every theater and be like,
Don't just show up and expect to see what you want to see. Because you'll be disappointed.
Your mileage may vary.
That's right. In the box office this week, no surprise here, Furious 7 pulls in $147 million in the domestic market, and I heard roughly $400 million globally, making it roughly the fourth largest debut revenue ever, I think behind a couple of Harry Potter movies and whatnot. Number two in the box office is Home at $27 million, Get Hard at third at $13.1 million, and Cinderella at $10.2 million. So that's what's going on there. With Fast and Furious, or Furious 7 as it's being called, I don't know if the allure is the quality of the movie or the curiosity with how they dealt with Paul Walker, seeing that he died roughly 60% into the movie.
And well, I didn't realize it was that early. I thought they were, they had wrapped photography.
I thought that they had too, but I've read a few articles following up, and they said it was about 60% through. So what they ended up doing is they used his brother, who, very similar look. I mean, if you scrutinize it, you can tell the difference. But I've heard they've also been doing some CGI face mapping so that his brother could stand in. But they would do some subtle CGI work to make it look more like Paul.
Think of Tron, by the way.
But
if you're looking for a similar comparison of this.
And it's technology. And even that's not similar. Tron was obvious. Yeah. I couldn't tell. I wasn't scrutinizing, but there was nothing blatant that said, hey, this over here isn't Paul.
Yeah, you didn't see a shift.
Yeah.
Into where it was like, okay, so this is where
The resolution didn't look too much different, if at all. The facial structure was similar enough that at a glance, which is most of what you saw.
Speaking of which, how good of acting those other guys have done. Well, it's granted, it's probably just a lot of movement, but with the voiceovers.
No, I guess afterwards. His brother spent a lot of time. I mean, he knew him, obviously, as far as how he talks, the cadence, and apparently pulled it off because there was nothing that happened in the movie. When I saw it, I couldn't tell where was Paul and where wasn't.
Yeah.
And it's also important to realize when they film movies like this, they don't film it in sequence. They might film the finale at the first scene and...
Yeah, because they can go, okay, we have a lease for this place at this time, but that's when we do the finale, yeah. But we have it for the beginning, so we need to get exactly. The finale done, but then go to the other.
Exactly. It was written in some articles that there was kind of a subtle change in the ending that they modified as a result of Paul's passing. But the movie itself, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. It is a solid, suspenseful movie. A lot of action with the likes of Jason Statham and The Rock, a.k.a. Dwayne Johnson. I don't know what he wants to be called anymore. Sometimes you hear it both ways. I think he leans more towards Dwayne Johnson. And then Vin Diesel, obviously. And the cars are awesome, even though they wrecked, like, I think I read 230 vehicles were wrecked in the making of the movie, which hurts.
All that metal.
Deep
all
inside.
That steel.
But anyway, again, it is still rated at a high 80s from the critics, so nothing's changed there, really. So if you're at all interested, I do recommend it. But I'm a fanboy that's seen every movie, you know, that they've released in the series. So take that for what it's worth.
Somebody has to be.
Get ready for the 7 DVD box set with Star Wars, this thing.
Yeah.
The full that was after he bought the 6 DVD box set and the 5 DVD box set.
Shut up.
That's the 8 DVD box set with the Tearful Goodwill.
Yeah, goodbye. It's interesting to see what they do, because Vin Diesel and Paul Walker were really close off camera. They really bonded through these movies. And it'll be interesting if they try to go for an 8th movie and do away with Paul together. Do they try to, you know, ride on the coattails and reboot the series with an all new cast? You know, obviously this movie's making a ton of money in the first weekend.
It's hard to walk away from that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's Universal. They're all about, you know, putting out good movies, but making good money. So it'll be curious to see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I think they really should just edit there. Just, you have the thing. It's been 7 movies.
Yep.
Do just some decent stuff and be like, you know what? It'd be kind of disrespectful for a guy who's been working on all the movies.
He was not in one of them. Tokyo Drift.
6 movies. And if we're going to continue, even though he's gone.
Yeah, the only way they would be able to do it is if they did a full reboot with an all-new cast. I mean, that's really... If they were going to do justice and pay respects to a degree, I don't think Vin Diesel would do another movie.
Yeah, I don't think he should.
And I would be disappointed if he did, because of the respect he had for Paul and the love that he had for him. So, there's our thoughts there. And wrapping that up, we'll jump into the news.
Big news this week in the arena of storage, computer storage. Intel has been working on a new way of arranging the storage cells in solid-state drives, which most things are going to now. I don't know if you guys have looked at solid-state storage prices lately, but it's ridiculously expensive. So this new technology that they've been working on is supposed to both increase density, well, mainly just increase density, but the prices have been coming down slowly, but the storage size has not been growing. You know, we've got 6 and 8 terabyte spinning drives now.
Yes.
But trying to get, you know, bigger than 0.5 terabyte of solid state, you start getting into the hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yep.
So Intel, in partnership with a company called Micron, have announced that they've figured out how to layer the storage cells in a 3D manner. And they are expecting to be able to release in a fairly short time frame a 3.5 terabyte solid state drive that is about the size of a stick of gum.
Okay.
And a 2.5 inch drive, so a laptop size drive, that will be able to store 10 terabytes.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes,
sir. At what layer of the chipset does the NSA encoding go on?
That is in the controller end of the chipset, so it works with all of it.
Awesome. I just wanted to make sure, you know, we took care of the government side here. You know, can't leave them out.
Yes, so, you know, they will still be able to do complete backups of the entire drive, no matter how large they grow.
Awesome.
Yep, yep. We wouldn't want to give that up.
I was just thinking, you know how on our server we had that issue where we overloaded the hard drive because it was running backups all the time?
Yes.
I wonder if you could encode its hard drive to do that so that when the NSA, you know, took a copy of your drive, it backed up so much that it just locked up the drive. I don't know. Just a thought.
You want a copy? We'll give you every copy. We'll give you all the copies.
Every 5 minutes.
Yes. God. You will get them all.
And it's like, it's this guy again.
So, yeah, it's, you know, we could be in for an explosion. I mean, solid state drives aren't just in computers nowadays. I mean, that's what's in your phone, essentially.
It's true.
So, you know, maybe we're on the verge of a exponential increase in storage size for mobile devices as well. And the nice thing about this is solid state drives, generally speaking, are not great in disk intensive environments like data centers.
Okay.
And part of this announcement, apparently they have improved both the performance as well as the endurance of these drives to the point where they will be usable in data centers.
Well, that's good. I mean, you don't want to create a product and you alienate probably the most beneficial market for it.
Well, and the biggest spenders.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yes.
The highest traffic, highest revenue.
Exactly.
Well, that's enticing. So, I mean, I've got a solid state in my Mac, and I mean, I hope it made a difference. It's hard to tell sometimes. But yeah, I mean, that the prices from one size to the next can be pretty scary.
Pretty steep, yeah.
Yep.
The other nice feature about this is they figured out a new power saving scheme where instead of the drive being one continuous chip, essentially, it is made up of multiple little chips, and the drive controller can power just the chips needed to access, because it knows where the data is.
Sure.
And it only powers up the drive or the chip in the drive that has the data you need, thereby saving power. Instead of having to power the entire thing, it just selectively powers it.
Now, do solid state drives have what's the heat generation between that versus a standard spinny disk?
To my knowledge, it's much, much, much less because there's no moving parts. You get some heat generated from the chips, but not near as much as the spinning.
I mean, that makes sense. I know a lot of people are going to, not going to, but there's some pretty sophisticated computer cooling systems out there.
Sure.
And I was curious as to if you could really offer solid state drives in the sizes that people were using for the standard drive, if there would be a measurable difference.
There would be, but in the systems which you're talking about, the hard drive is one of the least of your problems.
Yeah, it's more processor.
It's the processor and the graphics chip that you need to cool.
That's fair enough. Comments, Wade? No?
This would be nice for gaming.
Would it?
It would be. Well, yeah, you give faster disk access and more storage. I mean, games these days are getting to be huge.
This is very true.
You know, I have to be careful. I've got a Mac with a solid state drive, a Mac laptop with a solid state drive, and I have to be careful which games I load because I don't have, you know, unlimited space here.
Yeah. And for those of us that record, having dual drives is the way to go, but that's a topic for a different story. Cool. So SSDs on the rise, in size, so to speak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wade, what do you got?
Speaking of size.
Size matters.
You may need these disk drives to record of the longest turn ever to occur in the game Hearthstone to date.
Okay.
The turn clocking in at 1 day, 21 hours, 18 minutes, and 29 seconds.
Okay, so that's for the full match, right?
That's for one turn. This one turn. When a normal turn is 90 seconds.
Back up slightly and give us a little bit of background here. So what is Hearthstone?
Hearthstone was...
obviously, it's a game.
Yeah. I have to repeat this. A game created by Blizzard is a virtual card game.
Okay.
Created... Actually got...
Remember the old Pokemon cards?
I was going to say, is it a card game along the lines of poker or Pokemon?
More Pokemon than poker.
Okay.
You got monsters, they have abilities, you have buff cards, you battle somebody else.
Yep.
In a digital realm.
And all the points are obviously handled within the computer, so... Yeah.
And he had enough cards and multipliers and...
He had in the...
Skip, reverse, draw four.
He had
Uno,
enough...
hey.
The parameters on the board, concluding with the cards in his hand... I'm not going to go into it because we would be here all night.
Right. Sure.
And neither of you would know what I'm talking about, so...
Also true.
Yeah. Which allowed this turn to go on for this long.
And for this almost is, 2 days.
Yes.
So if you're on the other end of that situation, how long do you sit at your computer before you say, screw it, I'm going to go, you know, reevaluate my life choices?
Said the, what's it, the YouTuber, just in case if you want, actually want to check how this all went down, I did put a link, but the YouTuber, or not YouTuber, sorry, Twitch user, Mammy Twink, that's MammyTwink, no spaces, was the one who performed this particular feat. He did leave his room with the computer still running. He just left, turned off the lights, and just let it go. So
my question to you, which is someone who plays Hearthstone.
Yes.
In a normal turn lasts, you have 90 seconds to play your turn. You move a few cards and you end your turn.
Yep.
So if you're sitting there and someone does a move, how long do you sit there at your computer waiting for it to be your turn before you finally say, no, I'm getting up?
I don't know. Probably by the time it's like, okay, I had one damage and it's already hit me, I'm done. I'm not going to sit here for 2 days.
Well, you don't know that. My point is you don't know it's two days. I mean, do you sit and wait for 5 minutes and hopefully the turn ends so you can play? Do you wait 3 minutes because what's
15? I personally 15? Wouldn't because I want to go to a new match and not sit and watch my face get hit more than 290 something thousand times.
But my point is you don't know that's happening.
Does it give an estimated time of completion? Like, do you have any idea how long
so if
this
you're
is
sitting
take?
Yeah, so if you're sitting on the other end of the board and someone does their move, does it give you a counter and say the actions played will take the next, you know,
no.
48 hours.
No, there won't unless you take the time for each animation and just
okay.
Roll the math out.
So my question is, when you're playing a Hearthstone match and someone else's turn, the actions of that turn are taking a period of time to complete, at what point do you decide to either leave your chair or quit the match? What's an acceptable time for you? 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes before you say, you know what? This is taking too long. I'm done.
There isn't, because there's a 90-second match or turn timer. The way that this guy played the turn is that he got all the parameters on the board, which then he played all the cards on that turn for it to have to go through the animation of it and thus overriding the timer.
But the guy on the other end had to sit there for 2 days as well, right?
I doubt that because probably all the system was sent over and the guy was just still, the guy who initiated the turn just sat there and watched it. Probably, well, not watch it all the way through, but, you know, just went through it just to get the prosperity stake. I don't know how to answer your question with the way you want it.
I don't think you're understanding my question.
I just said that.
Okay. Brad, do you have a better way of expressing my question that you think he would be able to answer appropriately, or is this a mute point?
Well, so I think you answered it somewhat. The guy who was being played versus didn't get a 2 day pause essentially in the game, right?
No. I mean, there'd be no way to have it just be like, I don't see it sitting there and having to play the entire game. I think he would just, you know, close Hearthstone as the way you would do it with most windows on your computer, reopen it, it'll say, oh, you lost a game, and he went back to playing another, you know, thing.
I'll take the loss and move on, yeah. Thanks.
I would imagine the server would ping the player that did the move, though, and say, opponent has left the match. You know, I'd have a hard time believing that the animations of the action overrides the server timer.
I think it's, well, the way that it works is that all the information was already sent when he played all the cards. To have the ping of the second player go off, or basically concede is what they call it, that would be the second thing after it. So it would have to go through all the animations of the cards he's played for his versus character to then go through the animation of conceding.
I understand what you're saying.
So this does not sound like good advertising for Hearthstone.
It really doesn't.
It's that, you know? Once in a... I know it's weird to say this, lifetime, because there's a lot of lives on the world, but...
Sure.
It's not, that, though, because now you're going to have people trying to trump that. Now people can see, oh, wow, it took that long? Okay, well, what's the most optimum situation, and can I beat it? Now you're going to have competitions on the longest turn.
And that will hopefully not be carried out upon, you know, normal, like, me versus someone, unless it's like two guys...
And trying Skype or to whatever, do this,
trying to pull it off in communication. You know, if you're trying to do it on a
unsuspecting victim,
on an unsuspecting victim. First of all, if you pull it off, hats off to you. If you pulled it off, I don't know how you would be able to do it, considering the parameters that have to be set in this game.
I have to imagine Blizzard's gonna have to do some coding, because I see that causing some serious server issues, communication-wise, if it's left to persist.
And players quitting.
That too. Interesting.
Cool.
It's crazy. Okay.
It's a world record now.
Yeah, he's got a world record now, and he's got the data to prove it. So I want to kind of circle back to last week a little bit. And now that Brad is here to shine some light on this, and that is his sweet home state of Indiana and the accepting, there's so much acceptance in the air of Indiana and all its, you know, culture.
For those who don't get this, that's called sarcasm.
That's called oozing with sarcasm. Realizing you only get to see Indiana 2-3 days a week.
Sure.
How's it going for you?
You know, there's been quite a bit of backlash, understandably. The law to which you're referring was not a popular measure. In fact, most of the opinion polls show that, you know, the citizens of Indiana oppose it. About 75%. But, you know, obviously the people don't get to make the laws directly.
We are seeing that. We're seeing a lot of press for the, you know, lack of support, one of mm-hmm. which is a system that we're going to at our work, and that's Salesforce, who reportedly the CEO is helping the employees vacate this the state should they want. He said in a quote, "I got an email on the way to the studio from another employee who said, subquote, look, I don't feel comfortable living in this state anymore. You have to move me out." And I gave him $50,000 relocation package and said, great, you're in the clear to go. So that's not a severance package. That's a, we're keeping you around and we're going to help you get to a place that's better for you.
So I thought that was an interesting move from the CEO. And I don't, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about this one, honestly. I don't know that they're going to provide $50,000 for every employee of Salesforce in Indiana.
You know, you set a precedence like that for one, and you've got to kind of follow suit. He also said later in the article that this is really an important point that, you know, CEOs have a lot of power and control on investment in states, and we want to invest in states where there's equality.
Sure. Our big fear now is that even with them trying to clarify and make it less divisive, that, you know, the damage is done.
It really is. I mean, you've got, I read an article too that there was a pizza place that turned away customers because of inciting their religious views as a reason for them to not serve whatever. And they got donations in excess of like $800,000 from people saying, good on you for standing up for your religious rights and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got communities and groups that are catered to supporting people who are lesbian, gay, transgender, LGBT or LGBTQ technically is a group.
I don't know.
Who were trying to raise money for homeless people. And they said that they hit their goal, and I think it was only $100,000, that they would get a hotel, like 100 hotel rooms for a year to be able to temporarily house people in a time of transition. So now you're getting mm-hmm. this community conflicts of these opposing groups that are, they're not, you know, conflicts where they're going head to head, but they're raising money or pushing, I want to say pushing their agenda, but voicing their opinions on their side and doing what they feel is best in the situation. So it's kind of interesting to see how the public and the community are rallying around their respective causes.
This goes into where the lines of equality, freedom, and freedom of choice lines blur heavily. Is it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's equality to where, you know, that they have a right to any job they apply for, given on what that, how do I say this, they can get it with the skills that they have when applying for them. But it's also freedom of choice or speech to deny the person of that who owns the business to deny them that job. But it's just such a murky area to work with.
I mean, it's very discriminating because what the law allows, if you haven't been up on the actual reading, is
I have not.
I can refuse business or refuse to hire or whatever anybody who doesn't have the same religious views that I do, and the law says that I can use my religious beliefs as justification for my actions. So the big one in the news is people who are strongly religious turning away the gay community because you being gay is against my religious views and I don't have to serve you at my business because I don't have to.
Well, it's
discrimination in the purest point.
That's the point where I go with equality. It's, you know, everyone's equal to the same job as long as you can get it.
Not in Indiana.
But then it's their equality, like, again, blurred line to God knows where, to deny that service or position based on their religious views.
Yeah, it's really tricky.
Yeah.
So my take on it is, if you're in business, then you do have an obligation to serve equally. If your religious views are against certain lifestyles, then don't have those lifestyles. You know, I don't think you get to refuse people that disagree with you from your business. You don't have to be like them.
Are you talking morality, or are you talking the law in place?
No, the law in place says you can, at the moment at least.
Yeah. Okay, just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yes. I don't think that when you go into business, I think that's just part of what you accept, that you're going to serve people you don't necessarily agree with.
I remember reading a saying, you discriminate against people who are different than you, or saying they can't have this particular thing is saying that you can't have a cookie because I'm on a diet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, kind of. But yeah, like what Brad's saying is, when you open up a business, though, if you want to be a successful business person, you're trying to sell or provide or whatever it is your business does to as many people as possible, period, if you want your business, if your priority is to have a successful business.
Yep.
If your priority is to have a moderate business, but to have the business adhere to your personal religious outlook, then this law allows them to do so. But yeah, it's pretty scary. And I don't know how it came to be. Maybe you can shine some light on this, Brad. Was this something that kind of got squeezed in because the governor said just because he wanted it? Is it something that was voted upon, or?
Well, yeah, it was voted on by the legislature. I don't know how it got on the agenda.
Okay.
You know, obviously I don't know everything that the legislature does, sure. But it sure became an issue after that the legislature enacted it and the governor signed it.
It just goes to show you that even though perception, the gross popularity is becoming more and more accepting and understanding that there are just this variation of cultures. And I use that very loosely because I don't see, personally, and no one else's view of my own, but the gay, lesbian, transgender community, to me, is not one anyone chooses. But the fact that the nation as a whole perception is becoming more and more understanding and accepting, and yet you still have situations like this where not only do you have people that aren't, but they're the ones who get to make the rules against that growth or whatever.
Sure. Unfortunately, you know, this is not a unique thing. Getting it into law so far has been, Indiana's has been the most wide-reaching. But the backlash, the intolerance, you know, I mean, for the sake of balance, there were enough petitioners in the state of California to get consideration of enacting a law that allows you to shoot gays.
Which is a whole just wow.
Yeah. You know? So, you know, there's intolerance towards people of different orientations, intolerance towards people of different genders, intolerance towards people of different skin colors.
Yep.
We're not out of the woods. We're still...
Oh, no, we're not.
We're wandering through it without a flashlight is what we're doing.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like we're walking in circles sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But, Yeah, I mean, I only hope that, I don't know, it can get retracted or, you know, people will make a conscious effort to get themselves out of potential harm's way. You know, who knows if the ability to discriminate will escalate into physical violence. You know, it can be a slippery slope.
My view is that if I own a business, I don't care what your sexual preferences, what race or gender or religious beliefs you have, as long as you're not throwing in other people's face, and as long as you are producing in the way that the job demands.
You're talking about employees, not customers.
You're still good. And pretty much basically for customers, if you're not coming around throwing your religious views in other customers' faces, you know, basically harassing them, then you're okay.
Money all spends the same.
Yep.
That's my view on that one.
A dollar here is still a dollar there.
That's right. So anyway. Yeah, I just want to touch base on that because we've been dealing with Salesforce at work. And I happen to see that article that tied back into it. And since you weren't with us last week to censor us, I wanted to bring it back up.
Keep you in line.
That's right.
Somebody's got to do it.
And no one did.
You let the hounds out of the cage and we started chasing.
On that note.
That's right. I don't know where that came from, Wade, but okay. Sure. Moving on.
There was no master there, and the cage doors were left unlocked.
I loosely get your reference. I just don't know where you pulled it from. That's
my he made it up end. As he went.
Yeah, clearly.
For creativity. Obviously, you don't recognize it. Anyway, speaking of creativity,
God, that was a jump.
Fishing hard.
YouTube. Video game recorders, speaking of the people and not the equipment, we've covered this before, actually speaking specifically of Nintendo and how they tend to overzealously guard their intellectual property. A YouTube game recorder that goes by the handle of Angry Joe has essentially sworn off recording and playing Nintendo games again.
Again?
Well, he had been playing them and recording them, but Nintendo is claiming all rights to them, even though obviously the intellectual property belongs to Nintendo, the artistic
commentary, creation, personality.
The content of actually playing through the game is typically considered to be the gamer's, belong to the gamer. However, Nintendo is claiming that as well, and is claiming all the monetization that YouTube would be paying out. And this all started, or all came to a head over Mario Party 10. He had played some Mario Party 10 and uploaded it to YouTube, and Nintendo claimed it and wouldn't allow him to monetize it. And therefore, he is no longer going to be playing Nintendo games.
So,
essentially,
let's just make
holding
sure.
The position that he is doing free advertising for them, which we have made that argument before on this podcast.
Yes, we have. So I just want to understand something real quick. It's not that he uploaded the game, but that he's trying to, uploaded video content of the game. He's not making the game available, people. It's just
correct
entertainment and whatnot. It's the fact that Nintendo will not allow him to monetize it because they're claiming this is all copyright. And so he's saying no dice.
This is
correct.
And this okay. Is, sorry.
So
they haven't taken advocate, the video down. Yes.
To play devil's advocate, you can safely play, record, and upload any Nintendo game as long as you don't monetize it. Is that?
Well, you can even monetize it, but they will take the monetization.
Yeah, so why bother?
This isn't the first underhanded, well, not underhanded, I don't want to say this, overzealous protection they have, Nintendo has occurred. Now, I do watch a podcast. Many of, or several of the hosts on that podcast are friends. In fact, they work for the same company as Angry Joe does. Nintendo did try to take all the monetization from what I believe a 3-hour podcast for like a two-minute trailer of like Final Fantasy.
Is Final Fantasy a Nintendo product?
Or, okay, maybe not Final Fantasy, but a Nintendo game. Maybe it's wrong, but it's like, so, you want 3 hours of content because of a 2-minute trailer? No.
Yeah, I mean, if it comes to that, you don't monetize it and you don't make any money off of that content, but I got nothing. And we've expressed our views on this before. And if Nintendo keeps doing this, they're just chasing away the community that they should be so desperate to hang on to.
Well, and, you know, it's one of those things. We don't challenge their right to own the intellectual property of whatever the game is. That is definitely theirs.
Correct.
But it has been maintained that the creativity of playing the game in this particular order, you know, and creating the content from that, while the intellectual property of the art belongs to the company, the creation of the video belongs to the game player. Agreed. And they don't want to play like that.
Yep.
And the argument goes back again is that the people who watch these creators, they go and watch for the personality, not the game.
Yeah, you can have 5 different people playing the same game. You're seeing the same visual content because it's the same gameplay, essentially. But you can have 5 very different experiences based on the commentator, the creator of the videos.
Sure. So,
you know, the argument that the only reason you're making money on this video is because you're playing this game is not a valid argument.
I mean, there was another game that came out. It's actually, there's 3 of them now called Freddy Fazbear's. Or it's like Five Nights at Freddy Fazbear's. I watched one YouTuber play through it. And I know there's hundreds of other YouTubers who did. But I've only watched that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is the only one that I actually have interest in.
Yeah. It's all about the creator.
You know, if it was watching for the game, it'd be watching every single person who played the game.
No, which, because once you see the gameplay once, you have no reason to see it any other time.
I just don't have that.
Okay, time. But in playing the game, we all bring a little something different.
Agreed. The difference, Wade, is, would you watch someone playing a game with no commentary and just watching the gameplay?
No.
Or no?
I'm not going to sit here and it's like, if I wanted to have the gameplay, the content, I'll play the game myself.
Okay, so that point right there says the reason we watch YouTube game videos is not about the game itself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Or only partially about the game.
I think the game just gives the content creator
a platform,
ammunition and a platform. And that's really it. It doesn't matter what they're doing. If you've got someone you follow on YouTube, you're going to watch almost everything they put out anyway, regardless of what they play, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So, unless it's a game that is designed around creativity, that in that case, 2 different people are going to have very different experiences.
Yeah.
But a linear game like, Kingdom Hearts or whatever, that gameplay is probably going to be the same from you to me to the next guy. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, the story is not going to change.
It may be a bit out of sequence, but yeah, it's going to be the same
stuff. General story is the same, and that's what I'm getting at. Anyway, that was long-winded.
A little bit.
So, I mean, we've talked about this before, but what do we think the path for Nintendo is? I mean, where are they headed and where should they be going? Because based on our collective impressions and those beyond, what they're doing now is probably not the best path.
And you know, it's actually...
They're alienating their players.
It was actually kind of funny is because, like I said, I was at WonderCon. Nintendo was there as well, and they were showcasing a couple of their games. One of them was that hasn't been released yet, called Splatoon. I played it. I actually found it rather enjoyable, yet the controls were really wonky. It's that the Wii U tilting kind of controller system, if it was on any other mode of control, I mean, I would be on this podcast. I'd be playing it way too much. But yeah, and that just goes in. Is that I think they need to get away from the peripherals. Peripherals is what's killing them, and then overprotecting other products is what's going to put them down.
It's already putting them down. Wow. Okay. So I think that about wraps us up, though, right? I mean,
I think so.
Okay, that was girthy some at the stuff. End of that, and I'm guilty of contributing. But hopefully, this is a little back on track from last week. And without anything else, I guess we'll see you guys next week.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.